Now, both the cause and the blame for your problem of separation, not to mention the blame for all of your new, illusory replacement problems, can be found, if you look hard enough along with the ego, somewhere outside of you. Indeed, a whole new level has been made in which the thought system of sin, guilt, fear, attack, and defense can be acted out in such a way as to protect your seemingly separated mind, which you presently think of as your soul, from your terrible yet completely unconscious guilt and fear. To illustrate just how much the ego resists looking at this guilt in your mind, all you need to do is consider that despite the fact that A Course in Miracles is very much about the healing of this unconscious guilt, most of the teachers of the Course never even mention it. Now, as the crowning achievement in its grand scheme, the ego makes, drumroll please, the body. This allows the ego to permit into your awareness almost exclusively only those things which testify to the reality of its cherished illusion. Yet the body itself is just another part of the illusion, and to ask it to explain the illusion to you is no different than asking the illusion to explain itself. And of course, the ego is more than happy to furnish you with its answers. This universe, the world, and your body give form to a defensive structure in which you hide from your imagined sin, guilt, and the resulting fear of God's vengeance. The ego has a method firmly in place to deal with this now unconscious sin, guilt, and fear by projecting it onto others. Once we explain to you, during our next visit, how this thought system is acted out on the level of this world, you'll be able to clearly observe it in action everywhere, in all of your personal relationships, the relationships of others, in international relationships, in politics and other professions, and anywhere else you care to look. Then you'll begin to see for yourself that the message of the Course is true. In discussing this, we're going to be telling you some things that are not for the squeamish. The ego isn't pretty. After that, we can start to have some fun. When you're capable of observing the ego's thought system in action, which is certainly interesting enough to begin with, then we'll be able to explain to you how you can help the Holy Spirit turn the tables on the ego, hasten your own salvation at the same time, and eventually break the cycle of birth and death.
So I keep reincarnating because of this unconscious guilt and fear that's in my mind. You're saying if the guilt was healed and I didn't have this hidden fear, then I wouldn't have any need for a body, the world, or even the universe?
Excellent. I knew you weren't a dumb bastard. I tried to tell Jay, but he wouldn't listen. No, just kidding. After our next appearance, our visits to you will get shorter and sweeter. In order to really work with Jay or the Holy Spirit, you must be able to observe the ego's thought system in action, which is the same thought system you've subscribed to for eons without being aware of it. You have to be willing to look at it with the Holy Spirit, or Jay, as your teacher. As Jay puts it in the Course, no one can escape from illusions unless he looks at them.
We've already established that the universe you see is symbolic of the one thought that you have separated yourself from God, presented in many forms, and that you feel secretly terrified and enormously guilty over the separation. On this new level of the world of bodies, the thought of separation has been projected, seemingly outside yourself. And now the substitute causes of sin, the projected responsibility for guilt, and the many imagined reasons for fear of any kind can be found somewhere outside of you. And of course, other people see everything as being outside of them. Once you understand that, it isn't too hard to see the acting out of separation and the projection of unconscious guilt at work in the world every day. The ego has set up people in groups against each other for its entire script of the history of the universe, guaranteeing the acting out of separation in individual relationships in some way. Only when everyone has awakened from the dream will the thought of separation be over. Even in joining, there's still separation in this world. To bring this about, the ego has made special relationships. As we mentioned before, with duality you have special love and special hate. Love is now selective rather than being all-encompassing, and so it's not really love, but it passes for it. When you appear to enter into an incarnation, you are immediately part of some kind of family, which means you are not part of other families, economic classes, cultures, ethnic groups, and countries. You are already different than others in many ways. You even have competition between families and parts of families and individuals within families. The special relationships within your family, whether they're biological, adopted, or in a foster home, may be good or bad, loving or hateful, and resulting in either special love or some kind of victimization. Everyone who dreams their way into this world sees themselves as a body from the beginning, and thus a very special body indeed. Thoughts of victim and victimization cannot help but be seen from this point of view, resulting in the unaware projection of your sin and your guilt, which are hidden by the walls of forgetfulness, onto someone or something. Now all the secret sins and the hidden hates that you have about yourself are seen elsewhere. The fact that you're experiencing an unreal dream projection from your own forgotten mind is completely shut off from your awareness. And other people and outside events or your own body and brain's misguided and thus seemingly guilty actions are the perceived cause of the endless series of fears and situations, big and small, that you call your life. As Jay teaches you in the Course, while comparing the dreams you have in bed at night with the dreams you have during the day, it is the figures in the dream and what they do that seem to make the dream. You don't realize that you're making them act out for you. For if you did, the guilt would not be theirs and the illusion of satisfaction would be gone. In dreams, these features aren't that obscure. You seem to waken and the dream is gone. Yet what you fail to recognize is that what caused the dream has not gone with it. Your wish to make another world that's not real remains with you. And what you seem to waken to is but another form of this same world that you see in dreams. All of your time is spent in dreaming. Your sleeping and your waking dreams have different forms, and that's all. But their content is the same.
So, in the illusion, people project their denied guilt onto others. Not only are they unaware that they're doing it, but on top of that, because there's really nobody out there anyway, what they're really doing is recycling the guilt within their own unconscious mind, keeping it and the ego intact. I take it that's what Jay meant when he said, "Judge not, that ye be not judged. For with the judgment you pronounce, you will be judged, and the measure you give will be the measure you get." That's true because people are really judging and condemning their own images of themselves. This leads to a continuation as a seemingly guilty ego from lifetime to lifetime because what caused the dream is guilt and the need to escape it.
Superb, my brother. Don't forget the ego adds the sly trick of having just as much projection in special love relationships as in special hate relationships, thus helping to ensure the continued dynamic of recycling guilt. If you'll look hard enough, which most people won't, then you'll see that love in this world is always qualified in some way. And if those qualifications aren't met, watch out.
Now we come to another one of the ego's favorite devices for maintaining its vast illusion. Tell me, Gary, since you have a show business background, what does an illusionist do to trick the audience at a magic show?
One thing is to hide the illusion by diverting the attention of the audience someplace else while the trick is being done.
Yes, the ego is a master illusionist, and one of the ways it diverts your attention from the moment you're born is by giving you, and this calls for another drum roll, please, problems. These problems are usually right in front of you, and the answers to these problems have to be found out there in the world and utilized. It doesn't matter if it's your own survival that's the problem, or something as seemingly lofty as attaining world peace. The problems and the answers are always somewhere out there in the world or the universe. The truth is out there, says your generation. It doesn't matter if they're talking about extraterrestrials or any of the ego's other substitute mysteries and problems, for the real truth is not out there, because the real problem is not out there. But you keep looking out there, never realizing that, as the Course says about the ego, its dictates, then, can be summed up simply as, seek and do not find.